Let's pray as we come to God's word. Father, we thank you that we can open your word today. We thank you that you speak to us so clearly about prayer. Please help us understand why we should pray. And we ask that your spirit will help us put what we learn into action. Father, help us to treasure your words now. Amen. Well, it seems like a long time ago now. I suppose it was. It was the time when I left my secular employment as an engineer working for the Public Works Department, and my wife and I decided to go to Bible college. I remember the day when I broke the news to my work colleagues that I was leaving. I was leaving the career of engineering and I was going to Bible college, and I was so excited, but they were absolutely mortified that I'd leave such a great career, a career such as engineering, give it up and go and do something in their mind that was absolutely ridiculous. In fact, I think some people felt quite offended because it was though I was devaluing the work that they valued so much, and they didn't like that. So there was lots of fuss and carrying on. They felt uncomfortable with my farewell because they thought I was a poor, deluded soul just going off and doing something stupid. One of my clients even swore at me. Once I was taken out for a drink and with a bunch of the boys, and one of them asked me in a quite insulting way, "Do you pray?" And I said, "Yes, I do pray." And then they all laughed like I was just out of my mind. Well, now I guess it's some 27 years later, I'm beginning a series on prayer because prayer is an essential of the Christian life. Our text for today is a short one. You'll find it in 1 Thessalonians 5. So if you haven't got your Bibles already open, please open up to 1 Thessalonians 5. And we're looking at verses 16 to 18. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, adopting this approach to life and prayer makes sense only when we know the character of the one to whom we pray. Therefore, it's not unreasonable to ask, to whom are we praying to? To whom do we pray? Who is the recipient of our prayer? So this is our first concern at the moment. To whom do we pray? And then our second point relates to our relationship with God, which prompts us to pray, that also enables prayer. The nature of our relationship with God allows us to pray, demands that we pray, and commands that we continually pray. So they're the two things we're looking at right now. To whom do we pray? Then looking at our relationship with God that enables us to pray. So I hope you leave today with a picture of why we should pray. Well, and of course, our view of God shapes the way we pray. If we think of God as an impersonal force, then there's no point talking to a tree. What's the point of chatting to a block of wood or crying into the vacuum of empty space? If we think of God as a force to be manipulated, then this will shape the way we pray and how we pray. See, it's pointless praying to a golden statue. Our prayers are wasted if the God to whom we pray either does not hear our prayers or his character is such that he ignores our prayers. If God is cruel and vindictive, why would we want to pray? Rather, we would perhaps offer sacrifices, sacrificing our sons and daughters to him in an effort to appease his ruthless anger. But when we open the Bible, we see that from creation, people have been in communion with God. Adam and Eve met with God and they walked and they talked with him. And while sin altered the relationship between God and people, God did not turn his face totally away from his fallen creatures. And so the God to whom we pray still reveals himself in history and still through his word. In 1 Thessalonians 1:9, Paul recalls how the Thessalonians turned from idols to serve the living God. See, dead idols, living God. In his book, Knowing God, Jim Packer outlines the character of the living God to whom we pray. And I really recommend this book by Packer, Knowing God. It's terrific. And Packer has chapter titles, God Unchanging, The Majesty of God, The Wisdom of God, The Love of God, The Grace of God, God the Judge, The Wrath of God, The Jealous God, The God Who Is There, and The God Who Is Knowable. We pray to the God who displayed his enormous power by raising his son from the dead. The one with the power to bring the dead back to life is surely worthy of our attention. We pray to the one true God who made the world and is in control of all things. We are praying to the God who mourns our rebellion and who loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son into the world, that whoever believes in him won't perish but have eternal life. We know God as the Creator, and as Christians, we know God as the Father. The Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven." In Romans 8, Paul highlights the privileges of sonship and daughtership, and by the Spirit of God, we cry, "Abba, Father." Packer says that a Christian is one who has God as Father. Christians relate to God as their Father. Packer says, Father has now become God's covenant name, for the covenant which binds him to his people now stands revealed as a family covenant. Christians are his children, his own sons and daughters, his heirs. God our Creator and God our Father. This is the God in history to whom we pray. But what is prayer? Well, prayer is lifting our voice to God, and yet people visualize prayer in all sorts of ways, from flags fluttering in the breeze to silent meditation, from repeating mantras to praying to a various number of gods in different locations. We do not listen to God in prayer. We talk to God in prayer. Throughout the scriptures, prayer is never presented as listening to God. The Bible never talks about listening to God in prayer. You talk to God in prayer and you listen to God through his word. God promises to hear the prayers of his people, and he promises to speak to us through his word. And so prayer is fundamentally asking God for something. Prayer is a request, it's a petition, or to use the old word, it's prayer is supplication. And we see this in the Lord's Prayer. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Prayer can be asking God for wisdom or guidance or healing or protection. Is not praise prayer? No. Prayer is prayer and praise is praise. They are two different activities. The psalmist asks God for all sorts of things he prays, and this is different to his praise. Prayer is fundamentally asking God, and we are all good at asking for things, aren't we? But it seems often not so good at asking God for things. And when our children were younger, they were always asking us for things, our three boys. Do they ever stop? Even when they are grown up, they seem to be asking us for things. We ask our politicians for almost everything. Our economists, we ask more money from them, from our economy. Our doctors, we ask them for healing. We're good at asking for things, but we're not so good at asking God for things. And yet God is the one who can truly deliver on his promises. We pray because of the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, that he is willing to hear and answer our prayers. Indeed, the relationship we have with God as our Father means three things. First, God our Father means that we can approach him with our requests. Our Father is able and he is willing to answer our prayers. If God were not able, if he were not almighty, if he were not the creator of everything, there would be no point asking him for anything. If God was not the one who created people in his image, We could not expect him to provide for us. We could not expect him to hear us, to listen to us, to relate with us, to communicate with us. If God was not willing, if he was not our Father, then we couldn't come to him in confidence and boldness. Rather, we would come in fear and terror. If God were not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then we wouldn't be able to approach him with the confidence of our sins forgiven. It's because we know God, made possible through the Lord Jesus, that we can pray to him. Our fellowship with the Father is made possible only through the Son. It is the prayers of the righteous which are heard by our Heavenly Father. So Jesus says to his people, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Or listen to Paul in Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God is not your Father, then do not expect that you have access to him. Do not think that you can approach the Father if you do not come to him through his Son. The prayer, "Dear God, if there is a God," is a nonsense, and yet we see it all the time in our community. In times of national disaster, and there's no shortage of them these days, our politicians begin to talk about prayer. But if God is not your Father, do not expect that you have access to him. To reject the Son is to attract the wrath of the Father. When the psalmist says, "Lord, who may approach your holy tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" The answer is clear. Psalm 15 says it is the one who is blameless, the one who is righteous. And where does our righteousness come from? It comes through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his righteousness is imputed or transferred to us. Nowhere does the scripture say that those outside Christ can approach God in prayer. The prayers of the ungodly, those vague, misdirected, desperate prayers, go unheard because God is not their Father and they do not approach him through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why when we finish praying, we often say, "Through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not because it sounds religious or just a lovely tradition, nice sounding words. Rather, unless our prayers are through Christ, we do not have access to the Father. It's our relationship with Christ that enables us to pray. It's our relationship with God in Christ which gives us every expectation that our Father is able and willing to answer our prayers. Second, our relationship with God demands that we pray. Not only can we approach God in prayer, God demands that we enter into this fellowship with him. Imagine going to see our Prime Minister. I think I'd probably dress up for the occasion, maybe not wearing my best clothes, but something neat and casual, fitting for the occasion. And when I arrive at Parliament House, I guess I'd be eventually ushered into the Prime Minister's office to see the man himself, Scott Morrison. Scott, well, we're on good terms, I guess. Scott comes into his office and I'm overawed by the presence of the Prime Minister. Then he sits down and I sit down and then we just look at each other, saying nothing, looking silly. It's an extraordinary non-event. What's the point of being in the Prime Minister's office if you're not going to speak up? We belong to God, and he demands that we enter into fellowship with him. When we are in his presence, we can talk to him. God demands that we talk to him. Indeed, we honour the Father with our requests, and he is only too willing to lavish his goodness upon us. Have a look at Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, in light of all those things, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. Since the house of God has been opened up to us, go in. The door is wide open. Oh, we couldn't previously do it, but now we can enter into his holy and majestic presence. The blood of Jesus poured out for us paves the way into the most holy of places. So why would we just stand outside? Let's draw near to God, for he has provided the way into his eternal and holy presence. Let's go into the throne room of God and make our requests known to him. Let's not be content with just reading the newspapers and playing games and watching TV when we can travel the highway into the most holy of places and make our requests known to our Heavenly Father. The Father demands that we come in. As James 4:8 says, we must draw near to God. Come near to God and he will come near to you. At least enter once, at least enter and ask the Father for forgiveness. The very thing that Christ died to give you, the Father now invites you to ask for. God commands all people everywhere to repent. The grace of God demands that we turn to God in prayer. And then as one preacher asks, and now that we are in the family of God, are we going to remain silent? Are we going to deny our Father the joy of giving us things? Are we going to give him his glory by admitting our utter dependence upon him? Every time I ask God for something, I am giving honor and glory to him. Our relationship with God demands that we pray. Thirdly, our relationship with God commands that we pray continually. And so we return to 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Notice here that the command to pray continually is wedged between the commands to be joyful and be thankful. Be joyful always, for Christ lay down his life for you. We are free from condemnation. Death no longer has the last word. We have a wonderful hope for the future. We rejoice because we see the hand of God in whatever is happening in this world. We remain certain of our future salvation. Is this not why we sing so often and so enthusiastically, COVID-19 notwithstanding? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. As I once was lost, but now I'm found, blind, but now I see. We have every reason to rejoice because we are no longer refugees. The Lord Jesus has given us a new home in the kingdom of God. And so we give thanks in all circumstances. Maybe this is why there are so few Christians in Australia, because whinging and whining seems to be part of our nature. And yet Paul commands us to be joyful always and to give thanks in all circumstances. See, part of the joy of the Christian life is prayer. Pray continually, or in some translations, pray without ceasing. Prayer is the normal activity of the Christian person. It's part of God's generosity and love that he not only allows us to pray, that he not only allows us and welcomes us into his holy presence, but he actually tells us to pray. So it's too easy to negatively respond to commands that were given anywhere, and too easy to negatively respond to the commands of God. Oh, here's someone else telling us what to do. But God loves us and he commands those things which are in our best interest. Prayer is obviously good and helpful for us, but the perversity of our character means that we need to be commanded to pray. You know, one of the odd things about parenting is commanding your kids to do the things that are good for them, like eat your vegetables or come home before dark or look carefully when you're crossing the road. We command these things because we love our children. Even though they will complain, we insist on these things because our demands are for their good. God commands us to pray without ceasing. Keep a constant conversation between yourselves and God. As one commentator says, it is possible for us to be all our days in the spirit of prayer, realizing our dependence on God for all we have and are. Brief conclusion. When we pray, we are saying that God is our Creator and our Father. We pray because God allows us to approach Him in prayer. The way we pray, how regularly we pray, and what we say, these answers rest upon the nature of the God to whom we pray. When we pray, we are putting our faith into action. We are demonstrating our trust in God. We pray because God has promised to hear our prayers, and He has promised to answer our prayers. We pray because God commands, even demands, that we pray. And this is for our own good and for His glory. When we pray, we are saying that God is able and willing to answer our prayers. We pray because of our relationship with God, which allows, which demands, which commands and promises us that God is there as our Father, and in our prayers, by the very act of prayer, we bring Him the glory that He deserves. Well, let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your kindness to us. We do thank You that Your throne room is open, and that we can enter in, and that You command that we do pray because You are only too willing to listen to us and to do what is good for us. Father, prayer is difficult. You have given us a whole range of reasons in Your word why we should pray. Father, help us and work within us so we are people of prayer. Thank You that You command us to pray, that it's for our own good, and that You demand that we pray for our own good. And Father, we want to express our total dependence upon You. So help us to pray. Give us spirits of dependence and reliance and trust in You. And we ask these things to the glory of Your holy name. Amen. Well, we're going to listen to a song now, Hear Our Prayer. And there's something a little different about this song. The students at More Theological College in Sydney, well, they can't meet together in chapel because of COVID-19. So they've put together a bit of a Zoom choir. And so you'll see different faces in the song, different locations, all brought together to form this choir of praise to God. So stay with me as we listen to this great hymn, Hear Our Prayer.